want you to look at scriptures as I asked you to tonight. And if you can't find them quick enough, write them down and read them later and see if you can remember maybe what was said about them. Again, not going real deep, but I ask you to, let's just go to a kickoff verse and let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and look at it again. I think sometimes we get some of the verses like John 3:16 and others, and we get so familiar with them, but we should understand they're so important. And we look at this one, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, recently, some of those that are casting doubt on the perfection of the King James Bible have said, well, when you look at this verse right here, all scripture is given should really be was given. It makes me think of Bill Clinton. The word is. Don't make you think of him? Just straining at a gnat. Just trying to split, dice a word. No, it says all scripture is given. And the King James Bible is its own interpreter, amen? And yet when these folks are criticizing it, they don't use it to interpret itself. Now, for instance, if I ask the one that kind of threw a doubt on that is there, to go back to the end of Matthew, what we often call the Great Commission, missionaries go to the field over this verse. Notice what it says at the end of Matthew, if you pick it up with me in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all, how about that? Same word that's in 2 Timothy 3:16. All power is, wait a minute, there's is again. Is given, not was given. Is given, present day, present thing, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Does somebody think the Lord's run out of power since then? No, I don't think so. And I want to say this. Amos 8, we quoted to you, we used the other night in the last days, a famine not for bread, water, but for what? The Word of God. Found it quite interesting last night. I was watching on the History Channel, a program I've seen on there once or twice before. It was a program that had to do with the Mayan Indians and their doomsday prophecies, it's being called, December 21st, 212. And others have picked the same date, and they gave all the various reasons of the Mayan Indians and how they arrived at it and how they had a knowledge of astronomy that was amazing for their day and time, and it's amazing for our day and time. They're claiming their calendars may be even more accurate than ours. So they're doing a whole program. Hey, by the way, it's not just a few preachers like me that's pointing out the lateness of the hour. The world's pointing it out too. A lot of those guys talking last night were not saved. Maybe some of them was, but not very many. But bad things are coming on earth, and they're talking about that. But here's the part that caught me. I was looking as they flashed the words of one of the books that one of their priests, I guess we'd call him, had written. And he was saying bad things, which you and I would recognize as things that are likely to happen during the tribulation period. We recognize that. I mean, a comet hitting the earth and fires and floods and all that bad business. We know it's going to go on in the tribulation period. But then he made this statement, and I'll get it pretty close to right. He said, and there will be an end to the word of God. I thought, how well that fits. What's happened today, the devil has so counterfeited the Bible to the average one in the world, don't know what it says, and Amos said there'd be a famine for the word of God. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'll give you a little bit of personal testimony here tonight. Years ago, in the 70s, if you look behind me back here, this Bible was put around the baptistry. We still get questions about it. When we first put it up, I went ahead and found some letters somewhere and put KJV on the corner of it over here. It's been there for many years. 75, 74, whenever it was put up. Brother Herman Hill, is he here anywhere tonight? Herman knows, because he's the one that basically, I sketched it out a little bit, and he improved on it and done the miracle of getting it up there. And it's been there basically ever since. And I've had all kind of people come. I wish this thing would clear up. Y'all pray for it. Must be the devil. When I was fussing at my wife earlier tonight, I had a clear voice. Now I'm joking. You don't believe that, do you? Anyway, I get a lot of questions about that. When I put that up there, there was no battle raging like this. Almost all independent Baptists, anywhere you went, King James Bible, Word of God, I hold it in my hand, it's the Word of God, I preach it, it's alive, it's got power, it gets the job done. And most Southern Baptists even back then. Now you had a liberal crowd, but I mean there was most Southern Baptists, that's all you'd find. But what has happened? I was almost a prophet by putting that up there and just kind of keeping it up. And of course, I've taken our stand on it through the years. But the truth is, things have changed a lot. And now we have arrived at divisions in the independent Baptist movement, in the fundamental movement. Many are trying to sit on the fence. Many got their head buried in the sand. Many don't want sacred cows touched. And many are compromising every way they can on it, wherever you look. I want to ask some questions tonight. They're just teaching questions. You want to learn something, ask some of these questions. There's about a half dozen questions. I'll only use two or three that you can ask about a subject. And if you get them answered, you're pretty well informed on that subject. I want to ask why it's going on to start with. Why the perverted Bibles? Why do we have what we would call liberal Bibles, and they're worse than liberal, they're perversions? And we look to see some of the motives that's behind it. We know, and I'm going to hurry through just a bunch of them, we know that the copyright or making money, making profit off the Word of God is a big thing. I'm not against anybody printing the Bible and getting their labor back out of it and selling it and that sort of thing, but when they also put a copyright on it where you can't print it, then that's wrong. And this AV, this authorized version, this King James Bible, under the royal and crown copyright of England, was given to the people. That's why it was called authorized. And any missionary anywhere, as they've done now for almost 400 years, can print it without worrying about getting a letter infringing on my copyright. I can name you many people that have gotten a letter from the NIV crowd saying you cannot print this Bible without our copyright, without paying us a royalty for it. So I'm saying to you, money is behind a lot of it. Now you've got to understand, in America, or at least in the U.S., there are copyright laws, and to take something, you've got to make X amount of changes, and there's thousands of changes that would have to be made in this King James text before you could put your copyright on it. So that explains why a lot of the changes had to be made so somebody could make money off of it. Understand? Now, another reason the perverted Bibles is not just the money and the copyright, but a lot of folks hate the truth that's in the Bible. They water it down. They hate this Bible for the same reason a thief hates a policeman. Amen? They're stealing something. They're messing up something. Doing something wrong. For instance, the Jehovah's Witness Bible. The New World, so-called, translation. Now, why'd they need that? Because they hate the fact that Christ was God incarnate. They want to make him a lesser creature. One created, not God himself. So they take that Bible and they change it. They try to tell you that when you die, your soul is stuck inside your body, and you and that soul inside goes in that grave, and that grave is all the hell there is. So they had to translate another Bible to make it teach that, because this one sure don't teach that. See? And I want to get into that tonight. But hated truth. Now, Others come along, and by the way, many of these modern perversions are closer to the Jehovah's Witness Bible than they are to King James. And so they hate the doctrinal truth. You come along in 1952 with the Revised Standard Version. They put a big question mark. They changed the word. Did the original language injustice by changing the word virgin in Isaiah 7:14 to young woman. Now, God was talking about a miracle. A virgin conceiving is a miracle. A young woman having a baby is as common as the sun coming up. See, it stole the virgin birth by putting young woman in the place of virgin. So it's a thing there where they hate the doctrine. They hate the separation of this old Bible, not just in clean Christian living, but the separation between the one way to heaven and all the false religions. One of the most hated verses in this King James is John 14:6. Where Jesus said, and he said, I am the way, not one of many ways, but the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Well, you know what that does? That eliminates Buddhism. That eliminates Islam. That eliminates the Hindus. And just go right on down the line. Anybody that's not trusting Jesus and Jesus alone, it eliminates them. So what that amounts to then is they hate that. And then the liberals come along, and when I use liberals, I'm talking about those that don't believe this is the Word of God. Right. I'm talking about those that believe if you're just good enough, you'd make it on your own. That's a work salvation. You see, folks, there's a lot of churches will not preach the hard truth of the King James, which says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So what they're trying to say is if you're a good neighbor, you treat animals okay, and you pay your debts, you're a good guy, you're going to make it. But the Bible, the King James says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. So they're trying to get rid of the truth and put all the global religions together, but you can't do that when you got a John 14:6 and Jesus saying, I'm the only way. Right. But that's what's being done right now, is to get all the religions together from our president and others that are going out. And by the way, Bush said the same thing. I heard him say, well, Islam's Allah is the same as our God. No, he isn't. Right. And Obama's falling right in, saying we're not necessarily a Christian nation. We got Muslims and blah, blah, blah. I got news for you. Well, I don't know what either one of those men believe in their heart, but those statements are wrong. And you don't make any other false god equal with Jesus Christ. No way whatsoever. But the global religion is their plan. And of course, anybody going to hell would rather not there be a hell. Amen. So you got a lot of perversions that water down hell. Now, some of you Spanish folks, listen to me. If you're hung up on the 1960 Bible, tell me why it's got Hades in it instead of hell. See, there was liberals in producing that Bible. The same liberals that produced the RSV, Mr. Eugene Nider was one of them. If he's still alive, he's in his 90s. But I've had Spanish folks want to kill me over pointing that out. And those same Spanish preachers will get up and preach hell hot and heaven high. They're preaching King James doctrine, but the Bible they're putting in the hands of the people that's listening is not saying what they're preaching. And that's too bad. But why all the liberal Bibles? Why all the perversions? Well, the one global religion is behind it too. Now, that don't mean all of them have sat down and figured this, but Satan is orchestrating it. Satan is bringing the plan together. Satan uses this guy and this guy. He don't necessarily have to have them on the, or even know each other, but he uses them. And he uses them just like he started in the Garden of Eden. And we got to remember something. The attack on God's word has been down through history. And Satan has moved on that all the way. He didn't gain much with the Jews in the Old Testament of perverting the Word of God. But brother, he has made major strides in the New Testament area. Right. And especially in these last 75 years, and especially more so in the last 40 or 50. But those are reasons we have other versions. But now I want to say something that's moved into independent ranks now is this. Same thing Satan started in the garden when he made Eve think he was smart. We now have intellectualism. We now have pride of scholarship. And we now have preachers saying what we need. I'm talking about independent Baptist preachers. Talking to independent Baptist preachers in large groups saying, we need an educated clergy. I don't even like the word clergy. I'm sorry, but it just brings an image in my mind of some little dead fish hand, collar backwards, spaghetti backbone, lace on his underwear, wimpy. That's just not, hey, I like a man be a preacher, amen? Bless God, I don't care whether you like that or not. This is Wednesday night in my church, and I don't care what camera's on or not. John the Baptist didn't fit the description I just gave you. I'll tell you that. And what we got now is a cry for educated clergy. Come to our college and learn Greek. Because if you know the Greek, you know the word of God. No, you don't. Greek don't give you an inside track on the word of God. God is not hiding some secrets in his English that you got to have the Greek to dig out. Amen? You fall for that con and you're going to be in trouble. Because the devil will get on your shoulder and he'll say, you better look up what Dr. Drydust said. You're not sure if that's what the passage really should say. That's the devil's trick. That's all it is. All it is. But that's what the movement is now in the independent Baptists. We got to be scholarly. Otherwise, we'll not be considered in the league with Joel Osteen and Rick Warren and the rest of some of them guys. You're going to be a mega church? Then you got to be educated. Uh-huh. If you look in the Bible, there was a certain educated fellow that fell because of pride. You read about him in Isaiah 14. Huh? You read what Paul said. He said, knowledge puffeth up. But what's that puffing up business? Do you know that none of us know a thing but what we didn't get it from somebody else? It might have started with your mama teaching you to say dada. But you started learning from somebody else from the time your diapers was wet until you were able to go down and buy yourself a tuxedo to get married in. You've been learning from one after another, and depending on how you applied yourself, don't get proud. Get thankful. Amen. Amen. Sad truth is we got this educated clergy business coming now. And we're too educated to believe that old 1611 that was translated. You say it's not a 1611 anymore. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I mean, when God created Adam, a man, we still got men today. And that 1611 has had the spelling changes. But bless God, I ordered one the other day, and I'll say something to the college about this later. We got the original 1611 down there in the glass case. But you can get now one hardly as big as the one I'm holding in my hand. That's a 1611, far as the spelling goes, spelled exactly like it was in the 1611 edition. I've got it laying on my desk right now. And Stephen's back there, and I picked it up to him, and I read to him out of it. And standing there reading it, he can't tell whether I'm reading this one or the 1611. And you can read it. Don't let anybody tell you you can't read it. And while it's got the Gothic type in it, it only takes you a few minutes to straighten out the F's and the S's and realize all the little extra E's that's added. And I can stand there and read it just as good as I can this one in English. And you wouldn't know which one I was reading. So don't buy into that garbage. Now, we don't want it to use today because the spelling has changed. But wait a minute. When you change rules in the middle of the game, who's to say what's correct? Right. And here's what I'm saying. Far as sound goes, the old English spelling actually fit the sound of a human voice better than what we're reading today. We've shortened it up. For instance, I say the word thee. By the way, the King James Bible has the word you in it. They knew how to spell you in 1611. But thee gave God respect. Now, if I say to James here, James, you go so-and-so and do this. If I said, thee go, you say, well, that'd be funny. No, it wouldn't. It'd be ascribing something to God, to a man. Better be careful on that business. It's not outdated so much. Now, if I use the word thee, I say thee, you think T-H-E. But if I say the word thee in my mind, I'm thinking T-H-E-E. The sound is the same because you can't hardly cut it off. But the last E actually fits thee. Understand what I'm saying? So don't judge the 1611 wrong when the spelling hadn't even been standardized to 1828. So that's a smokescreen. That's ridiculous. But that's what's going on. Scholarship has never been on God's side. Education to a degree is right, but you're not educated if you don't give God the credit for it. And you're not educated unless you line it up with his book. Now, I said, why did they come? I just gave you a few reasons why the new perversion. Let me give you a where on it. Where'd they come from? Well, I got my book laying up here. And I would strongly suggest college students, if you're going through the course, and I don't know if Brother Bradley requires this one, he probably does. But if I look on about page 109 and look through here a little bit, it tells me about the two Bible streams or trees. You got to understand Satan was trying to counterfeit and pollute God's word all the way. And at times he got stronger than others, but for almost 400 years, over 300 years, after the King James came out into English, Satan lost out. There was only another perversion come out in 1890 and in 1901 and then in 1952, and that opened the floodgates from about 1960 on to well over 100, some say as many as 230 versions written out in English, but you wouldn't hardly recognize some of them as Bible at all. But here on page 109 in my book, it's called The Pure Stream. And one of the vocabularies that I give you to learn in here is called the Syriac Translation of the Bible, set down in 150 AD. Now, the Syriac is the way that the King James texts come up through Syria. And I have another name here, a word to learn, and that's the Majority Text. And that's the name for what is often called the Textus Receptus, or Latin for the received text. And fragments and manuscripts through history, but remember this, there are no originals. Please remember that. And the crowd that's now attacking the King James is trying to insinuate they are. They're not. You find an original, you'll be a rich man. I mean, millions would not buy it if you could find it. It does not exist. God doesn't let it exist, maybe for the same reason Moses' body wasn't found. I don't know. Anyway, you got a corrupt stream and you got a pure stream. It gives a little illustration here. It's Country Boy, and Country Boy wrote this book. And tells about two boys fishing on a creek, got real thirsty. And some of you men have had this experience. I've certainly had it. Got so thirsty you start drinking creek water. You ever done that? Huh? And everything was fine. The creek water looked clear until they went around the bend. There, around the bend, after they'd already drank a big stomach full of creek water, was a bloated dead cow coming apart in the stream and heading right down where they drank. Ooh. A lot of folks drinking from a polluted stream. They need to go around the corner and see the dead cow. They've been deceived and they don't know it. I use that illustration here to kick it off on the two streams of the Bible. And there's the New Testament pure stream of the Greek text up through the authorized version, the King James Bible, beginning in Acts 11:26, where the Christians were first named at Antioch. Remember? And so your first stream comes up through Antioch. There's another stream of Bibles that begin to get started fairly early on because they were put out to counteract the Word of God. And what we know as the Catholic side of it became the Catholic later, come in under Constantine and Eusebius. And you can get a book by Eusebius today even. And they come in from another direction. You got to remember something. It was the Catholic Church that tried to keep the Protestants and before that the Baptists from having the Word of God in English. That's where the battle was engaged at. Who were the ones that was trying to give it to us in English and preserve it down through the ages? The Waldenses, the Albigenses. These were early, later named Baptists, holding the same doctrine we hold today. And they come up through that positive stream and through the what we call the received text. Martin Luther, by the time of the Protestant Reformation, somebody asked me the other day, I said a little something negative about Martin. I'm glad he existed, but he couldn't have done what he done had the Anabaptists not already been there. And Martin Luther translated the Textus Receptus into German. He was followed by William Tyndale's translation in English, and that's the basis for the King James Bible. Two enemies used by the devil, two men, Westcott, we call them, and Hort. They were into the ghostly guile, they were into a bunch of junk, and they were Catholic-type sympathizers. And they began to claim that the reason the translators of King James put it out is they didn't know about the codex, and the word codex just means a book like this. They didn't know about the Codex Sinaiticus. Now, the Sinaiticus was found in the monastery of St. Catherine, a Jewish monastery, in the trash bin. And the truth was, Erasmus and others that was involved in the King James text knew about that text, but they rejected it. And so if that's scholarship, throw it in the trash can. The truth of the matter is, the proof is in the pudding, how it turned out, what God chose and what God used. And he didn't use that business, it was thrown away. It was the devil's counterfeit that the common man did not use. They say, well, it's the oldest. Well, number one, it's not. The Peshitta in the King James Trail is the oldest. But the oldest is not necessarily best. Let me make a word. Mostest is best. Most is better than old, is what I'm trying to say. Let me give you an example. In the King James Trail, over 5,000 manuscripts, not all in the British Museum or Russian Museum, they're scattered various places. Of those 5,000 in the King James Trail, they are called the majority text because they're the most. Got that? Now, the minority text is two basic manuscripts. One of them is the Vaticanus, and one of them is the Sinaiticus. Sinaiticus found in the trash bin in about 1844, whatever it is there. I can give you the exact date if I look at it. But, wait a minute. Those two do not agree with themselves. Now, let me give you a real country boy illustration. Like it happens sometime right here in front of my church, you have a wreck. And if the policeman goes out there, he's going to interview the folks that saw the wreck. So let's say the policeman goes out there, two cars have had a wreck, and there's 30 people standing there, and he says, tell me what happened. Who hit who? Who on the stop street? And all 30 of them tell him, this one ran the stop street, he's at fault. But across the street is two witnesses. So he walks across the street to the two witnesses, and he says, which one was at fault in that wreck? Well, one of the witnesses says she was, and the other witnesses says he was. You got two that disagree. You got 30 over here that agree. Who do you think the policeman's going to listen to? That's exactly in your manuscript trail of your Bible. You got two say they disagree with themselves. That's the minority text. Then you got 30 represented by 5,000 plus manuscripts and fragments that say what you and I have in the old King James Bible. Now I wish I had time to give you more than that. But all new versions, differences I know, let me see if I can get it right. All right, here's my King James Bible. Let's pretend that this book here is a NIV. Will you let me do that? All right, we got a trail coming. Here's the King James. We got a trail coming, and it finally winds up here in the NIV in the modern versions. All right, here's the thing. This trail has been coming all the way. Finally, it reaches here. King James trail has been coming all the way, and it reaches here. Now we come out with something like the New King James in the middle. That makes so many preachers happy. I'm not a foaming at the mouth King James only. I'm educated, but I don't believe in the perversions, so I found me a fence to straddle. That fence straddling is the New Scofield. That fence straddling is the New King James. And there's a pile of Baptist preachers say to me when I say, well, all I use is King James, all I defend, I believe that's it. Well, we like the New King James. Well, here's what I want to tell them. Coming down the middle with a New King James, every time it disagrees with my King James, it reaches over into the polluted stream where the dead cow is, and it pulls out that word and puts it in here. Every time, almost, you'll find that's the case. So you're not fooling me a little bit. I understand where you got that word. I know where it come from. On the front of my book, you see a stack of Bibles in the picture. It is an interesting thing. We took in class and we stacked those Bibles up. That's a real picture made in my classroom, college classroom. And we showed how that the polluted stream of Bibles done just what I told you. We'd hunt up a word and we'd find that word in the polluted stream that had been moved to a New King James or Scofield, New Scofield, or some of the rest of them. Every time it reached over to the polluted stream and got the bad word and rubbed out the good word in the King James. And I could give illustrations all night on that. I won't do it. I want to quickly say this. What is happening now? A new attack. It started in largest so-called, I guess, largest fundamental church. I'm wondering if that name is still relevant. Supposed to be the largest fundamental church in Independent Baptist. In pastor school, 2008, I was sitting about 100 feet from the pulpit when the preacher said, if you think that King James Bible you've got is inspired, then you're ignorant and foolish. If I'd have had false teeth, I'd have dropped them. It was a shock. Real shock. I still couldn't hardly believe what I'd heard. Because I remember when the founder, or at least the longtime pastor that was dead, used the King James Bible as the theme of pastor's school. And I remember when the choir came out in that pastor's school and marched around the auditorium, they sang as others marched out with flags and marched around the auditorium on the issue of the King James Bible. And the choir would sing, Bill, you were there, well, I'm sure you were. When the flag would come, it might be a flag that represented the NIV or the New English Version or the Good News for Modern Man or some other corruption. And as they would walk around the auditorium with that flag, the choir would sing, that's not the Bible. That went on for, I don't know, 40, 50 of them. I don't know. It was a crowd because, you got plenty of perversions. And then finally, they came out with the flag representing the King James and the auditorium went nuts. Wow. I remember when that happened for my same platform. And then I have somebody come out and say, if you think the King James Bible is inspired, you're foolish and ignorant. I let it go for a good bit because I thought it might get corrected. It got worse, much worse. Now an explosion has happened. And fellows like me, preacher politics, politically speaking, are cutting our throats by saying anything. But bless God, I wasn't called by any other preacher. I was called by God, and I know where I've stood, and I'm going to stand there no matter the price or what the crowd does. Now that the explosion is happening, all kind of cover-ups and spinning and compromises is going on. But sad truth is, who's the loser? those that don't know better getting deceived. But let me give you the bottom line. Young preachers, if you don't think you have the Word of God, quit now. Go get you a job, I don't care, digging a ditch or selling insurance. Because if this isn't the Word of God, you got no sword. You got no weapon to fight with. If you can cast doubt all over this book and change it, then you don't have anything to win a soul with. If 2 or 3% of it's in error, which 2 or 3% is it? Is it John 3:16 or Romans 10:9? Which one is it? Don't know, but you know it's an error. That's what's being taught. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Let me also say this. Any man that gets in the pulpit that's called to preach and starts preaching this book, the Holy Spirit will give him a witness inside of him and in his hearers. But you get up here and try to preach Shakespeare and see what happens. Or pick you out any other book you want to. There's no spirit on that. What I'm saying is this is a live book. The Holy Spirit's in this book. If you were to look at, I wish I had time to give you some verses. If you were to look, for instance, look with me quickly. You know the verse, maybe you can quote it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Listen to it. For the word of God is quick. Do you know what quick means? It means alive. Alive. Quick. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No other book can do that. This is a live book. It's got the Holy Spirit on it. Man, don't tell me my Bible's not inspired. You could have fooled me. I got a letter this last week from a big, tall ex-highway patrolman. Walked in the little country church I was pastoring, probably wasn't more than 50 people there that day. Walked in, sat on the back row. I didn't know him, he didn't know me. I got up and preached the book. He come down the aisle with tears in his eyes and got saved. Man, that's 40 years ago. Got a letter from him the other day and answered it back. Man, this live book does that. You see, if you look at that verse, for the word of God is quick, or is it dead? Dead books don't produce anything. Dead languages don't produce anything. This book is alive. I could give you other verses. Look at Job. See, what they do is they're splitting things over the word inspiration. And they're trying to say, well, you just misunderstood what I meant by inspiration. No, I didn't. You told me my Bible was not inspired. It is inspired. Say, what does that mean? Well, they say it means the breath of God. It means more than the breath of God. It means the Spirit of God. There is a difference. Look with me in Job 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration, did you get that word? Inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Spirit in man connected with the Spirit of the Almighty to give him understanding. Do you see that? Inspiration. Let me give you something else quickly on it. John 16:13. Go with me there. You'll find it. I don't have it marked, I don't think, either. I think it's in my Bible here somewhere. John 16. Pick it up with me in verse 13. John 16. Howbeit, who's talking? Jesus. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Oh, as that word is again. Is come. Not was come. Is come. He will guide you into, there's that other word, all truth. A-L-L. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Here we have a living book, because the Spirit of God is in it to show us everything. You understand? Man, and you're going to tell me my Bible's not inspired? My Bible says it is inspired. If you will look, and this is quite interesting, if you will look in Webster's 1828 dictionary and look up the word inspiration, By the way, Webster was a saved man. He used illustration after illustration from the King James Bible to tell you what words meant. That's the best dictionary you're going to get, young men, that's studying for the ministry. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines inspiration as, and watch what it says, it gives two or three, but here's the one I picked. Webster says, inspiration is the infusion of ideas into the mind by the Holy Spirit. 1828 dictionary. Now, let's think about it. The infusion of ideas into the mind by the Holy Spirit. Webster had it right. And when those translators sat down to change the inspired word from Hebrew and Greek and maybe a little bit of Aramaic or something, they had the inspired word when they sat down. When they got through putting it in English, it was still the inspired word of God, because God infused in their minds, and the choices they did have to make with some of the words that you have to have helper words between one language and another, God Almighty infused their minds, and they wrote. They were not inspired as Paul. They didn't need to be. Paul had already written his stuff. All they needed to do was have God's guidance and give us what they started with. They started with an inspired Bible. They gave us an inspired Bible. That's still what we got today. And to cast doubt on it is a dirty shame. And for it to come within independent Baptists, within a few years at the best of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, is amazing to me. Amazing. They say, no, some of the old versions had God breathed instead of God inspired. Now, that's splitting hairs, but there is a difference. Inspired's got the word spirit in it. And Cloverdale was a forerunner of the King James in English. Tyndale, before that, forerunner in English. Geneva, up to the King James Bible. The Bishop's Bible, all those in English used. Hear me good, they used all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration is the word they all used. And the King James come along and used it also. So I don't even want it changed to God breathed. Yes, he breathed it in a sense, but the Spirit stays with it. It's still in there. It's still in there. It's still powerful. God's Spirit still uses this book, and it makes men new creatures. It breaks the fetters of sin. I don't want to go out to battle with a broke sword. You heard Barry singing about it a while ago. You need that full sword when you go out. You need to have full confidence in it. You see, God promised He'd preserve it. He preserved what was already inspired, so it's still inspired. And to try to split inspiration off from preservation because you've become a learned clergyman is a bunch of junk. All right. I wish I had about 40 more minutes. Let's stand, please. Now, what's going to happen on Wednesday night? So I'm saying this because there may be a few enemies out there listening. I'm going to tell them what to expect. For about the next two Wednesday nights, at least, I think you're going to get another dose of this. And whether I'm doing it or my son's doing it or somebody else is doing it, stay tuned. Keep your cards and letters coming. We don't mind them a bit. Amen. And if you do jerk your head out of the sand and quit following a Pied Piper that's convinced you he's smarter than God, then I'm sorry. Amen. I don't know if I feel spiritual enough to pray. Truth is, like old Lester Roloff said, when you attack my Bible, you're attacking my mother. Amen.